Most ADHD coaches treat time blindness like a productivity problem. I see it as a money problem. It is responsible for more under-earning than imposter syndrome, more scope creep than any contract you've ever signed, and more emotional dysregulation than the client from hell. It's also the most expensive problem in an ADHD solopreneur's business. Let me tell you why. Welcome back to the ADHD-ish podcast. I'm your host, Diane Wingert, and this is episode 2 of my current solo series, Reframing Your ADHD Traits as Business Strategies. The premise of this series is simple. You already know what your ADHD traits are. You've read the books, listened to the podcast, maybe you even paid for a diagnosis. But what you probably haven't done is figure out how those traits show up in your business from a strategic point of view. So that's what we're doing, one trait at a time, 5 episodes. And today's trait is time blindness. I'm going to make the case for the fact that almost everything you've been told is focusing on the wrong part of the problem. Here's the conventional take on time blindness. You've heard it a million times. You can't tell how long things take, so you're always late. You miss deadlines. You double book yourself. You promise a Tuesday delivery and maybe get it done on Friday. The fix, conventionally speaking, is some combination of using timers and time blocking with a side of guilt. I'm not going to argue against any of that. Timers help. I use them and recommend them. Time blocking helps too. The guilt, maybe not so much. But what I want to argue is that the productivity story is not where time blindness is hitting you the hardest. The productivity story is the loudest version of the problem, the flashiest one, the one about the missed deadline and the panicked apology email. That version gets all the airtime because it's so visible. You can see it happen. Other people can see it happen, which is why we apologize for it so damn much. But where time blindness is doing the most damage in your business, where you are actually leaking money on a steady basis, is in your pricing. Think about this for a second. The quote you sent 6 weeks ago, the one that you typed out a number and felt completely fine about it at the time, that may have been the most expensive ADHD moment of your entire year, and you didn't even feel it happen. There was no buzzing alarm, no missed appointment, no embarrassing apology to make, just a number typed into a proposal, sent off to a prospect, and locked in. But now you're inside that project. And that project is a whole lot bigger than the number. And you can't say anything because you already signed the contract. And every hour you spend on it is mathematically an hour you're working for free. Oof. That is not a productivity problem, my friend. That is a pricing problem. And until you see it as a pricing problem, you're going to keep trying to fix it with the wrong tools. Okay, quick detour into what's actually happening in the ADHD brain when you try to estimate. And by the way, estimating is an executive function. Now, I'm going to be brief on this because the implication matters more than the mechanism. And frankly, you probably don't need a neuroscience lecture. What you need is a strategic point of view. Here's what researchers have known for quite a while. ADHD brains have what's called a weaker sense of duration. We don't experience time the way neurotypical brains do. Past, present, and future don't carry equal weight in our perception. The future feels kind of theoretical. The past almost feels like it happened to someone else. But the present? The present is loud, immediate, and takes up about 90% of your available cognitive bandwidth. What this means practically is that when you sit down to write a proposal, you're not actually calculating anything. You think you are, but you're not. You're feeling. You're running a vibe check on the project. Does it feel big? Does it feel small? Does it feel familiar? Does it feel kind of like the last one did? And then you put a number on that feeling. That is the estimation process of someone with ADHD. And I'm not exaggerating. If you put your brain in an MRI machine and watch what it does when you are writing a proposal, it does not light up in the math region of the brain. It lights up in the region that gets involved when you are looking at a restaurant menu and deciding if it's going to be expensive based on the font. Here's the catch, and this is the part that costs you money. New work feels small until you're inside it, always, by definition, because you can't see the unknowns yet. And familiar work feels predictable until you remember, much too late, which parts you actually hated, because the brain has been silently editing those memories. I call it ADHD amnesia. It's basically been reminding you of the highlight reel and losing the receipts on everything else. So the proposal gets typed and the quote is wrong every time. But you don't know it's wrong because you can't see the future, because the future's unknown. I am not telling you this so that you can feel shitty about your brain. I'm telling you this so you can start designing around the real problem, which is what the rest of this episode is about. Now, there are three specific places that this is showing up in your business right now, and I want to name them so clearly that you can see them the next time they happen, and hopefully every time after that. Most of the cost of time blindness comes from the fact that you cannot see it in the moment. That's why it's called blindness. You're going to see it later when the shame hits. So we need to give it some shape so you can recognize it in the moment. The first place is quoting new work. This is where the unknowns really get you. You agree to a project type that you've never done before because, hey, ADHD, we do it all the time. And your brain reaches for the closest reference point it can find, usually a project that kind of looks like this one, then attaches a number to it and calls it a quote. But that number is almost always too low because the reference point was simpler than the actual work. And you don't have the data to know that yet. You couldn't have. The data only exists on the other side of doing the project, in the future, which you're not so good at holding accurately in your mind. Place number two, scoping familiar work. Now, this one is so much sneakier, and it catches a lot of very experienced business owners by surprise. You've done this kind of project 100 times. You know how it goes. So you quote based on what you remember. The problem is, your memory has been busy filtering out the parts of the project you dread. The 2 hours you always spend dreading the dread before you even get started. The revision round where the client suddenly remembers the thing they forgot to mention in the beginning. The 3 p.m. Tuesday energy crash that happens to coincide every freaking time with the most cognitively demanding part of the work. Your memory has removed all of that from the file. So you quote like the project in the highlight reel. And then you have to live inside the real version, including the dread before the dread. Place number three, the one that costs the most and gets talked about the least, what I call the hidden labor. The admin, the revisions, the decision-making, the back and forth, the communication about the communication, the second draft you didn't plan for, the third meeting that was supposed to be a quick email, the unexpected Slack thread that pulls you in for 2 hours when you had only scheduled 10 minutes for it. None of this feels like actual work because it doesn't feel like a deliverable. So it doesn't make it into the quote, and you don't even remember it the next time either. But make no mistake, it is work. And mathematically, it is your most expensive work because it's the work you're doing for free. If you find yourself avoiding the quote that you underpriced, or putting off the invoice, or rewriting the same email 3 times before you can bring yourself to send it, that's not laziness. That is procrastination as data. Your nervous system knows what your spreadsheet doesn't. And we are going to spend the rest of this episode talking about it and get into it even deeper in episode number 4 of this series. So stay with me. quick interruption. If anything in this episode so far is making you want to immediately open up your last three proposals and look at them with a fresh pair of eyes, Die AI can help you do that right now. Well, not right now, but like right now as in after you finish listening to the episode. I mean, Die AI is my digital coaching clone, trained exclusively on the ADHD-ish method and every framework I use with my one-on-one clients. You can take any of these ideas to her, ask her to work through your specific pricing situation, and get an ADHD-informed, business-savvy response. The link to sign up for Die AI for free is in the show notes. Okay, let's get back to the episode. Okay, now we get to the strategic part. Stop trying to estimate accurately. Yeah, you heard me. You're not ever going to estimate accurately anyway. I'm sorry, I love you, but you simply are not. Not now, not ever. Me either. Your brain is going to keep doing exactly what your brain does. We have decades of research saying it doesn't, in fact, do this part well. Estimating is an executive function. Executive functions are exactly what folks with ADHD struggle with and always will. You can take all the productivity courses you want. You can buy every frickin' timer that Amazon has for sale. The estimation problem is not going to be solved with discipline or productivity tools. That is a structural mismatch between what's going on in your brain and what the task requires. The strategic move is to stop asking your brain to do something it does not do and instead build a pricing structure that doesn't require accurate estimation in the first place. Let me give you the specific tools. There are six of them, and you can simply pick the ones that fit your business model. Tool number one, range pricing. I just recommended this very week to one of my current clients. Instead of giving the client a single number, you give them a range. This project will be somewhere between X and Y, depending on scope and complexity. Y is your honest upper limit that you will not exceed. X is what you would come in at if everything goes perfectly, which of course it won't. The middle is where you are most likely going to land. The range protects you from your own time optimism, my preferred term for time blindness, because optimism is what's going on in your brain when you're underquoting. There is a bonus feature of range pricing I have to mention as well. How the prospect responds to range pricing tells you an awful lot about what they would be like to work with, and you definitely want to know that before you sign, not after. Prospective clients who want to know to the penny how much a project will cost before you even begin are going to be just as nitpicky throughout the entire project. Think about that before you sign on to work with them. Okay, tool number two, value-based pricing. One of my favorites, recommended all the time. Instead of pricing your time, you price the outcome. The client doesn't honestly care how long it took. They care about how it turned out. A six-month engagement that doubles their revenue is not worth your hourly rate times the hours you spent. It's worth so much more than that. When you charge for the result, time blindness becomes irrelevant because time is not the unit you're billing on. Tool number three, multipliers and buffers. Take whatever number your brain wants to say and multiply it. Some of my clients use 1.5x as their default. Some use 2x. A few, the ones who have actually done the math on their genuine history with scope creep, may find they need to use 2.5x as their multiplier and sleep better at night as a result. The multiplier does the cognitive work your brain is simply not going to do. You don't have to estimate accurately if you've built in a coefficient of, I know I'm going to be wrong, and here is how wrong I typically am. It's brilliant. Tool number four, project, not hourly. especially if you do any kind of creative or strategic work. Hourly billing punishes ADHD brains because we work in non-linear ways. You might solve a four-hour problem in 20 minutes because hyperfocus 10x'd your effort. Should you bill 20 minutes for the four-hour problem you solved? You should not. Project-based pricing pays you for solving the problem, not for how long it took. That is what your clients are buying anyway. Tool number five, pre-built revision rounds. This one is for anyone doing creative or deliverable-based work. You build a specific number of revisions into the price, two rounds, three rounds, whatever you decide. The fourth round costs extra, and that is written into the contract before you and the client sign it. And tool number six, communication caps. Same logic as revisions applied to communication. You specify how the communication will happen, how often, what channel, and the response time. Being available without limits is not VIP level customer service. It is an uncompensated demand on your nervous system as well as your time. The thread running through all six of these tools is exactly the same. You are designing the pricing around the brain you actually have, not the brain you think you should have. That is the strategic move, and that is the whole point of this episode. One more uncomfortable truth before we land this plane. If a chunk of the work that you've been underpricing happens to be recurring, you know, like retainer clients, subscription offers, or maybe courses you launched 2 years ago and have been quiet quitting on ever since, that is a separate problem with its own structural fix. And that is what I will be covering in episode 3 of this series, the recurring revenue trap. It's adjacent to the underquoting problem, but it really has its own mechanics and deserves its own episode. So that one will be coming up next. Are you ready for your assignment? You knew this part was coming. I always do this. You're welcome. The very next quote you give, and I mean the next one, not the one after you've ruminated on this for 2 weeks. You're going to do one thing differently. You're going to write down the number that your brain wants to say. Let's call that the default setting, the one that you would have sent without thinking before listening to this episode. Then you're going to multiply it by 1.5x, or 2x if you're feeling brave, or 2.5x if you've been listening to this episode while staring at the proposal you wrote last month and you've been making faces at me the entire time. Pick whichever multiplier makes you feel just a little bit queasy, but not like full out sick to your stomach. And then you're going to send that one. I want you to notice the resistance. I want you to hear the voice in your head that says, you can't charge that much. The story about how this particular client is absolutely going to push back or say no. The sudden urgent need to renegotiate with yourself before the client has ever seen the number. The way your finger hovers over the send button. All of it. That resistance is the data. That resistance is the underquoting impulse in real time. And I want you to see it this time and not look away or slide back into unconscious mode. That is the very thing that has been costing you money for years. Run the experiment once. One quote. See what the client says. See what you learn. If they say yes, you have a useful piece of information about the real value of your work. If they say no, you have a useful piece of information about whether that client was ever going to pay you what your work is worth. Either way, you are collecting better data than your brain is currently giving you, and you cannot make better pricing decisions on bad data. You just can't. The math isn't mathing. Now, you can try out any of the other five tools, but the multiplier is the one I want you to run the first experiment on because it literally takes no preparation. I want you to visualize the Nike swoop and just freaking do it. And remember, The brain you have is the brain you have. So design your pricing around that brain, not in spite of it. This is episode 2 of Reframing Your ADHD Traits as Business Strategies. Ahead in this series, The Recurring Revenue Trap, What Your Procrastination is Actually Trying to Tell You, and The Silent Tax That Object Permanence is Putting on Your Pipeline. The third episode in the series is 4 weeks away with a client success story and 2 guest interviews you do not want to miss in between. So make sure you subscribe or follow ADHD-ish. And if you're starting to wonder whether your ADHD is actually doing something inside your business that is a coachable problem, the link to my consultation calendar is in the show notes. I'll see you next time.